Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, a week ago on Saturday, March 25th, it's a special day for me. It's all about my son, Dave. He turned 51 that Saturday, and he's now retired as a sergeant from the Grand Rapids, Michigan Police Department. He was a police officer for 27 years. He played basketball and soccer in school, but soccer was his first love. He played semi-pro soccer for a while and has been a coach for a high school girls' soccer for a couple of decades. He followed the family tradition of being a cop. My dad's dad was a police officer killed in the line of duty. My dad's brother was a career FBI agent. One of my sisters retired from a police department a couple of years ago, and you may know I was reserve deputy sheriff for a few years. My son Dave is one of the best leaders and finest human beings I know. My prayers are with him, of course, as he moves into the next phase of his life. I'm a proud pop. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Skip, you did a great job of covering for me while I was out goofing off last week. Thanks, bro.
Well, you're welcome, Colonel. One thing I would like to know, and you got to tell me because I've been waiting for you to get back so you can tell me, did you see the sun and was it everything that you hoped and dreamed it would be?
It was that big yellow thing in the sky that made things warm.
Yes.
Yeah. Every day, brother.
Oh, Lord, I long for the sun. I long for it. But spring is on the way, Colonel.
That's right. It is. Thank God. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the problem our nation's military is having getting recruits and why we have that problem. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will share his warrant wisdom. And Dr. Scott Jensen will discuss the attacks on his medical license during the nonsense COVID restrictions, as well as his role in government and other challenges. Then Russ Durstein, the Executive Director of Concerned Veterans for America, will discuss some of our nation's challenges, including Ukraine. And Dr. William Forskin will discuss his book on electromagnetic pulse. It's a serious problem. If that ever happened, we'd have a huge disaster.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, the top general in our military warned that not supporting Ukraine now would lead to a massive increase in future defense budgets and global conflict that has been avoided since World War II ended. Quote, if that rules-based order, which is in its 80th year, if that goes out the window, then be very careful, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs General Mark Milley testified to Congress. Quote, we'll be doubling our defense budgets at that point, because that will introduce not an era of great power competition. That'll begin an era of great power conflict, and that'll be extraordinarily dangerous for the whole world, unquote. Milley's remark at a House Appropriations Committee Defense Subcommittee hearing comes amid growing skepticism from Republicans about the price tag of our aid to Ukraine. Milley was testifying about the Biden administration's $842 billion request for Pentagon spending for fiscal 2024. Congress has approved about $113 billion in aid to Ukraine since the war began when Russia invaded its neighbor. While that includes humanitarian and economic assistance, the bulk of the funding has gone toward providing weapons. Some members of the GOP have been increasingly vocal about questioning whether support for Ukraine is a good use of our funding, arguing there are more pressing domestic needs or that there has not been enough oversight to ensure the money isn't misused.
Remember, General Milley is the guy who didn't resign rather than implement our stupid and totally unprofessional abandonment of Afghanistan. Not mentioned is the obligation of Ukraine's neighbor nations to provide major help in Ukraine's defense. And the total lack of oversight on how our money is being spent by Ukraine is criminal. We need to be doing less, and Europe needs to be doing a lot more. And our focus needs to be on China, not Russia.
And Honduras established diplomatic ties with China last month after breaking off relations with Taiwan, which is increasingly isolated and now recognized by only 13 sovereign states. foreign ministers from China and Honduras signed a joint communique in Beijing, a decision the Chinese foreign ministry hailed as the right choice. The diplomatic victory for China comes as tensions rise between us and Beijing, including over China's increasing assertiveness towards self-ruled Taiwan, and signals growing Chinese influence in Latin America. The new China-Honduras relationship was announced after the Honduran and Taiwanese governments made separate announcements that they were severing ties.
We need to be very, very worried about this. Should, or maybe I should say, when China invades Taiwan, we will likely break relations with China, at least briefly. That will shut down many U.S. companies who get much of their supplies and parts from China. This will be a huge catastrophe for our nation's economy. This is where our focus should be, getting that problem solved.
Speaking of China, China threatened serious consequences last weekend after our Navy sailed a destroyer around the disputed Paracel Islands in the South China Sea for the second day in a row, in a move Beijing claimed was a violation of its sovereignty and security. The warning comes amid growing tensions between us and China in the region, as Washington pushes back at Beijing's growingly assertive posture in the South China Sea, a strategic waterway it claims virtually in its entirety. After we sailed the USS Milius guided missile destroyer near the Paracel Islands, China said its Navy and Air Force had forced our vessel away, a claim we denied. The next day, we sailed the ship again in the vicinity of the islands, which are occupied by China, but also claimed by Taiwan and Vietnam as part of what it called a freedom of navigation operation, challenging requirements from all three nations, requiring either advance notification or permission before a military vessel sails by. Quote, unlawful and sweeping maritime claims in the South China Sea pose a serious threat to the freedom of the seas, including the freedoms of navigation and overflight, free trade and unimpeded commerce, and freedom of economic opportunity for South China Sea littoral nations, a U.S. 7th Fleet spokesperson said. And, quote, the United States challenges excessive maritime claims around the world regardless of the identity of the claimant, unquote. China's Ministry of National Defense responded by accusing us of undermining the peace and stability of the South China Sea.
We have always, and should continue to, follow the international laws about freedom of the sea and navigation. We did the right thing here.
And new benefits are coming for our service members with families, including programs designed to ease the financial burden and stress of raising children in today's tough economic environment. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced new initiatives to help cut into the cost of childcare and broaden spouse employment, including universal pre-kindergarten at Department of Defense Education Activity Schools in the next 5 years and flexible spending accounts for childcare expenses, allowing service members to set aside $5,000 in pre-tax income. Quote, it is the department's ongoing moral duty to spare our outstanding people stress and struggle on the home front where we can, and to show our service members and civilian employees how much they mean to us with tangible support that makes a genuine difference in their lives, Austin wrote.
This is a good idea, but we must also take out of the school system any kind of woke or critical race theory nonsense and concentrate on education, not indoctrination. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk with Dr. Scott Jensen about how our government used COVID crisis to attack him. At ease, troops, take a break.
Health HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. And it's time for Comments by the Colonel. The all-volunteer force may have finally reached its breaking point. During the first years of the recent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, many military experts worried that the constant deployments would break the force, since they expected that fewer young Americans would volunteer to serve in a wartime military, but that didn't happen. Yet, a recruiting crisis began just after we stupidly and wrongfully abandoned Afghanistan, and it shows no sign of letting up. As a result, our military is shrinking, not on purpose, but because there aren't enough qualified volunteers. And that has enormous implications for our strategic position in an increasingly uncertain and dangerous world. So how bad's the recruiting crisis? During the last fiscal year, the Army missed its recruiting goal by 15,000 active duty soldiers, or 25% of its target. This forced the Army to cut its planned active duty and strength by 10,000 troops. And the current fiscal year is likely to be worse. Army officials project that the active duty and strength would shrink by as much as 20,000 soldiers, down to 445,000 total. That means that our nation's primary land force could shrink by as much as 7% in only 2 years, at a time when its missions are increasing in Europe and the Pacific. The other services barely met their active duty goals last year, and it will be harder for them to do so in 2023. The Marine Corps may be able to compensate because of its outstanding retention rates last year, enabled it to lower its recruiting goals. It may be able to do so again this year, but the Navy and Air Force face greater recruiting issues. Both started with deeper holes in their pool of delayed entry applicants, offered extensive financial bonuses, and took a wide range of other one-time measures. So why is this happening now? Well, part of it, no doubt, is the end of the war in Afghanistan makes military service less compelling. For the first time in almost 20 years, American troops aren't fighting abroad against insurgents and terrorists. Unemployment's low, and the tight labor market has also forced wage increases and other incentives. Other factors are also interacting here. First, the number of young Americans eligible to serve in the military dropped last year from an already low 29% to a shocking 23%, largely due to the effects of the COVID pandemic. Levels of depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions exploded among youngsters who face sometimes extreme levels of social isolation. Shuttered schools also made it difficult for recruiters to meet with young people. And youth obesity rates, long one of the biggest reasons for military ineligibility, grew. Few of these statistics will rebound quickly. The second factor involves the number of young people who are interested in the military. Only 13% of young Americans said they'd consider military service before the pandemic. That shrank to just 9% last year. That's simply not enough. Two sets of survey data help explain why this is true. First, the number of citizens expressing confidence in our military has plummeted in recent years. Okay, confidence in almost all our government institutions has declined horribly. It had an all-time low of just 27% last year. And general public confidence in our military dropped from 70% in 2018 to just 45%. Second, fewer people in and around our military are willing to recommend military service to young people. In 2019, almost 75% of military families said they'd recommend military service to someone they cared about. That dropped to under 63%. Our chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan certainly is one of the reasons for these declining numbers. And there's the feeling that our military leaders are too involved in politics, partly due to the several controversies surrounding JZS chairman, General Mark Milley. Then there's the ever-increasing rates of sexual assault in the military. Indeed, 30% of Americans aged 16 to 24 said that the possibility of sexual harassment or assault was one of the main reasons why they wouldn't consider the military. Many focus on the increasing wokeness of the military. It's horrible. Even though the leaders from all the services strongly deny this, it's clear they put their careers ahead of doing what's right. For example, they should have resigned before executing the crazy Afghanistan pullout or permitting the lies of critical race theory to be forced on our troops. Add crazy things like the recent ruling that any person in the military can ask to change their gender on their records, and it will be changed, no surgery required. And why would we pay for such surgery anyway? So a person with a fully male body can, indeed must, use women's bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers? Who wants to be in that military? Addressing these challenges won't be simple. Getting rid of the woke policies is vital. There are no magic solutions that are going to make more young people eligible to serve or easily reverse the citizens' attitudes. Increasing the desire to serve will require efforts that bridge the ever-widening gap between our citizens and our military. And though the services are working to address these problems, more remains to be done to ensure both the readiness of the military and the sustained viability of the all-volunteer force. The draft would be a good idea. That way our youth could learn that with our rights comes an obligation to serve. We the people have to take this challenge seriously. We need to get involved to make our military combat-oriented, not focused on political correctness. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to the Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby now. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
So have you ever heard the story of the U.S. Rangers who were engaged in a 300-round shootout with the Crips gang on U.S. soil? Well, it's more than just military lore. It actually happened in 1989 in the state of Washington. Crime was at an all-time high in Tacoma during the late 80s and early 90s. It was fueled by gang violence, drive-by shootings, and drugs. But in 1987, Staff Sergeant Bill Folk, who was stationed at nearby Fort Lewis, bought a condemned home for $10,000 and got to work making it a home. But before long, gangs turned his American dream into a nightmare. There were gang-related shootings between the Crips and the Bloods right on the neighborhood streets. They would call the police, but no one would even show up. Residents many times feared for their lives just walking out the front door. So they started taking pictures of the coming and goings of a home that had a reputation for being a crack house. They even wrote down license plate numbers, which of course irritated the gangs. On a pleasant September evening, Falk organized a neighborhood cookout, and neighbors were socializing in his yard when the harassment started. Gang members started throwing bottles and fruit and threatened to burn the house down and fire up after dark. Then a car rolled up and a gang member fired shots into the air. Fearing they were coming back, he called his army base for backup and asked for every available ranger to come to his house. Parents sent their children away and the rangers charted a plan to protect the neighborhood that evening. At around 9:20 p.m., someone shot at Falk's home and the rangers returned fire. Some 300 rounds were fired, shattering windows, damaging cars, piercing the walls of his home. But when police arrived, they didn't find anyone who had been injured. The Rangers had in fact hit several gang members, but they were taken to the hospital by fellow gang members. Police took semi-automatic rifles, a shotgun, and handguns from the Rangers and arrested two gang members on previous warrants. None of the Rangers were arrested or injured. However, police were frustrated that residents didn't call them sooner. And you know what's really interesting? Falk still lives in that same house today. He actually left one bullet hole in the siding as a battle scar from one of the Rangers' wildest missions on American soil. For Frontline to Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontline to Freedom, we'll discuss the nonsense COVID restrictions with Dr. Scott Jensen. Then we'll talk with Russ Duerstein from Concerned Veterans for America. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, do another 50, then stand at ease.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome to the show Dr. Scott Jensen. Scott is a Minnesotan. He attended seminary for a couple of years, and he went to the University of Minnesota to earn a bachelor's degree and his MD. He taught at the U of M Medical School and has a small family practice. He was the 2016 Family Physician of the Year in Minnesota. He's been active politically in his state, and the state has been working to try to remove his medical credentials. So welcome to the show, Scott.
Well, thank you, Dennis, for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Scott, you've been through a whole bunch of stuff that we military guys took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And you've been through a whole bunch of stuff that I think is indicative of people trying to take away the rights guaranteed by our Constitution. Share a little bit about your background. I shared a little bit. How about where did the interest in medicine come from and the interest in politics? Talk to us about just who you are.
I'm a small town kid who grew up in southern Minnesota in a little town called Sleepy Eye. And I had three brothers and a sister, and my mom was my best friend and my dad was my hero. Sleepy Eye was one of those places where we all comfortably ascribed to the view that it takes a village to raise a child. If you did something that you shouldn't have done, whether it's throwing a tomato at someone you shouldn't have thrown a tomato at, just because your mom and dad wasn't around doesn't mean they wouldn't learn about it. So it was a wonderful place to grow up. I went to Sleepy Eye Public High School and graduated as valedictorian, and I had 65 classmates. I went to the University of Minnesota, and I was passionate about becoming an orthodontist. I got into dental school. I was elected president of the class. And unfortunately, during that time, my mom died of colon cancer. As I mentioned, she was my best friend. This really turned my life upside down. I found that I did not have a love affair with teeth, but I really enjoyed the chemistries, the anatomies, and a lot of the pharmacology. So I took a year off and went to the seminary. I was dating this really good-looking, wonderful woman at the time. And in that seminary year, I was led to say, I need to ask her to marry me. She said yes, and we've been together 45 years. We have three wonderful children. My wife, Mary, is a veterinarian. My two daughters are physicians. I'm not exactly certain what happened to my son, but he's an attorney, but we love him just as much. We went on as a family to practice medicine in Wabasha. I went into medical school after the seminary year and went into family practice. And my first practice was in a town called Wabasha, Minnesota, where they filmed part of Grumpy Old Men. And my wife and I relocated in 1986 to Carver County, which is about 40 minutes to the southwest of Minneapolis, St. Paul. I've been a faculty member at the University of Minnesota for 40 years. I practiced with a clinic that grew rapidly for about 15 years and made a decision that I wanted to keep medicine upfront and personal. So I started my own clinic about 22 years ago. My daughter now runs our Chaska office and I run our Watertown office. In 2015, I was recruited to run for the Senate in the state of Minnesota. I was elected and was fortunate to have received more votes than any other Republican senator in that election year in Minnesota. I was there 4 years. I was vice chair of the Health and Human Services Committee. I made a decision to not run for re-election. I was both disillusioned by the way legislative business is done, plus my wife had some health issues that would require my attention at home in a more intense fashion. Just as my Senate term was coming to a close, COVID hit, and that changed my life. One night, I said on a news program, something about the fact that the Department of Health in Minnesota was encouraging physicians to revise the way we'd been doing death certificates for some 30 or 40 years. And that ended up getting me national attention, which was certainly not any intent of mine. So I found myself being on Fox News with Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson with some frequency. And basically what I said was, I've never been asked to use a contributing condition in a death situation as the cause of death. And yet this is what we were being encouraged to consider in 2020 in April. That ended up changing my life, Dennis. I ended up 2 or 3 months later getting a letter in the mail from the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice that my license was being investigated. Since then, there have been a total of 6 investigations. And 3 days ago, we had a face-to-face conference with the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice. And I'm grateful to report that all 18 allegations against me were dismissed and there were no stipulations. The matter is closed. And I thank my Lord for that result. But it has changed my life. I feel powerfully strong that during COVID-19, there were many people who were asked to make sacrifices, some of them unnecessary. And I think one of the large groups that was asked to make a sacrifice that was beyond the pale and was inestimable in terms of impact on their personal lives was our soldiers. Our soldiers who were willing to give up their life to defend their country were told that you will violate your core convictions or you will be discharged. All of your life plans, all of your commitment. And I think that was horrific. The other thing that I think we've learned through this COVID pandemic is America needs to reengage in a love affair with the Constitution. It is our Bible for freedom. And lastly, I think we need to recognize that when government decides to take on the partners of big tech and big pharma, that triad becomes tyrannical in the amount of impact they have on our lives. And I think we've seen that over the last 3 years. Big government colluding with big pharma and big tech has caused literally an upheaval of some of those stalwart pillars that make up our democratic republic. And for that reason, and that reason alone, no American should have the opportunity or the casual flippant attitude that they don't need to engage. There can be nobody sitting in the spectator seats. We got to get off the sidelines and say, this is my country, and by George, I'm not giving up easily.
Well said, Scott. That is so true. And so many of us just elected not to see it. This COVID crisis and the lies and stuff that came with it have got it out there in the open. But now that we can see it, we have to know we have to take action because it's our country. Our wonderful country is a gift from God, and He expects us to be good stewards of what He's given us. We have to, all of us have to be taking action, not necessarily all the same action, but getting involved, or we're crazy. I'm pretty sure that's the direction you're going. I hope it is.
Absolutely, Dennis. President Reagan in the 1980s, one of the cardinal aspects of many of his speeches was closing that speech with an exhortation that we need to be the bright, shining city on a hill for the rest of the world to see. We need to be that bastion of freedom. And we have been. Unfortunately, that has caused the lives of thousands and thousands of soldiers. But they've died willingly or been disabled or maimed or injured willingly because they felt America was worth fighting for. Well, if they're willing to put it on the line, then how can the everyday Main Street American do anything different? We're not being asked to pay that deep penalty. Potential penalty of what a soldier is. But we are being asked to engage and to speak up and to not allow a censorship to occur, to not allow government to expand and to grow like an octopus with its tentacles. We have seen people like Tony Fauci come out and say, when asked about some of the policies that he supported and recommended, how did he weigh those policies and their potential impacts against the economic devastation that would occur to small business people, how that would weigh against the mental health problems that would emerge because of such policies. And Tony Fauci's decision or his comment was basically, listen, that's not my department. I don't worry about that. That's for someone else to worry about. I just make public policy. And yet he has the audacity and the arrogance to tell America that if you're not following Tony Fauci, you're not following the science. Well, those two notions juxtaposed with each other make no sense. You can't tell the world that you're science and then on the other hand tell the world that you don't give a darn about the economic and mental health devastation that your policy recommendations might bring about.
Yes, sir. I mean, by science, by definition, is always challenging whatever it's come up with. If you come up with something, I'll challenge it. It's always there is no such thing as fixed science.
Dennis, let me just jump in there. You're absolutely right. Science is three things, and it should be remembered always. Science is, number one, observation. Number two, it's measurement. And number three, it's hypothesis. Newton watched the apples fall down. He then decided to measure how many fell down and how many fell up. And they all fell down. And he hypothesized that there was something that made apples fall down instead of fall up. And that was how we came up with gravity. Science breathes just like we do. And for the person who comes out and say, this is settled science, tells me that they don't understand science.
And we'll discuss that as we continue on in the next segment. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yes, it's push-up time, troops. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, some days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Scott and I will be right back.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Scott Jensen about the attacks on our Constitution, the COVID lies, the horrible crisis that we're living in, because among other things, as we were just talking about, the argument that if I say something is scientific, it is therefore fixed science and everybody has to believe it and nothing else counts. That is so nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense, but we're getting that shoved on us in all kinds of directions, aren't we, Scott?
We sure are. And I think we're getting it in ways that are heretofore unimaginable. And I think that's what has made this COVID pandemic the transformational experience that it's been for us. People have suffered. People have died horrific, lonely deaths in nursing homes unnecessarily. Families have to live with that legacy. We have seen government expand in a way that we would not have thought possible. We have seen executive orders used not as a public policy response, but frequently as a part of the political negotiation process. We have seen governors come out and say, gee, when I look back on some of the public policies I put in place, they don't really make a lot of sense. We're seeing that lockdowns and lock-ins and lockouts didn't add up to the kind of result we were told we'd get. We're seeing that one size doesn't fit all. We're seeing that when politicians move the goalposts, we should all take a deep breath in and scream in our next breath, we're not going to let you do that. We saw models be so wrong that they could have been worse and that they shouldn't have even been given the light of day. We saw mandates take place that caused Americans to have to violate their core convictions or literally lose their way of life. We saw an epidemic of fear. We saw tracing take place whether you wanted to or not. We saw testing done with cycle thresholds of 45, making false positives the norm. We saw immunization programs boosted with lottery-like attractions. You know, go to a football game free if you get your shot. We'll give you $100. We'll put your name in a drawing. Maybe you'll get a free college education. We saw gain of function being denied by our public policy leaders, and yet it's pretty darn clear the gain of function research was sponsored and paid for by America. When you put all this on the dotted line, how can we say anything other than the fact that we cannot fully trust our government, and it has to be we the people will not let this happen again.
Amen. And you've managed to leave out the fact that horrendous attack on virtually everybody in the medical community. Obviously, you got confronted by it, but I don't know anybody in the medical community that hasn't been confronted one way or another why you have to support the government position on COVID. And you can't even treat somebody in a way that you know they need it if it's contrary to the government guidelines. I've never been in that kind of environment in my life, and I'm in my 80s. That is weird, and it's horrible. And do you think we're through it?
No, I don't, Dennis. I would love to give the listening audience encouragement in that regard, but my encouragement would be, please engage and energize, because we're not through it. We still are seeing physicians absolutely being censored and crushed. We're seeing physicians lose their privileges in hospitals. We're seeing physicians lose their board certification. They're losing their approval by insurance companies. And there was an article written by a gentleman named Dave Racer, R-A-C-E-R, September 25th, 2020. This was 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago. And he said, fearful doctors and political medicine. And he said this. He said, recently, I contacted several physicians and asked them to consider joining a public relations effort concerning healthcare reform. Something as benign as healthcare reform. One physician said no, he could not do it and put his practice in jeopardy. He feared retaliation from government regulators, just as Dr. Scott Jensen has suffered. Another said, fear of being harassed by a government regulator robs physicians of the freedom to speak out. Over and over again, Dave Racer found that doctors were not willing to speak out because they did not want to lose their job, lose their livelihood, lose their privileges. So are we through this? No. We need to audit what happened. We need to hold people accountable. And we need to somehow make certain that never again do we fall down this slippery slope that we did this time around. Dennis, that's why I wrote a book and released it 8 months ago called We've Been Played, Exposing the Triad of Tyranny. And the triad of tyranny is the combination of big pharma and big tech and big government. I wrote this book because I think that by using patient stories, I can tell a very real, gripping, kind of beseeching book that tells people, for this, this, and this reason, I have to be involved. And if people want to read the book, they can get it at drscottjensenbook.com, drscottjensenbook.com. It's $20. We'll send it to you. But we have got to wake up and never again let this happen.
That's absolutely true. And the horrible thing, one of the many horrible things about this is, if I go to my doctor, guy who I've known and trusted for years, I had to wonder if he was going to tell me the truth about COVID or just help. Well, he told me the truth. But I knew that he did so at risk to himself. And who wants to live that way? I mean, from his perspective or from mine, I want to have a doctor or any other person I go to for advice or assistance to be able to give it to me straight from the shoulder from his or her perspective. That's what America's about, isn't it?
It is. And you just actually described the second aspect of the double whammy that's occurred through COVID-19 regarding healthcare and specifically the personal care of patients. First, what happened is with the COVID pandemic, the number of people who either put off screening tests, put off specific therapeutic regimens for potentially a cancer or some other serious medical problem, put off follow-up of blood pressure issues or diabetic issues was enormous. So that was one. We saw people's health suffer because the total fear factor of COVID-19. But then the second thing we saw is what you're describing, Dennis, where we have seen patients feeling abandoned by their physicians, patients feeling like, I really can't trust my doctor like I thought I could. Many times patients have felt betrayed. So on the one hand, we have a delay in receiving vital critical health care. And on the other hand, we have a fracture of the relationship between patient and doctor, because doctors are no longer perceived by patients as universally trustworthy as they had been. And that's a huge issue. And that doesn't bounce back simply by flipping a switch. This is going to have to be earned once again. Patients are going to have to be convinced that their doctor is not some pawn of government, but instead their doctor is their advocate. And when that advocacy is recognized, then the patient will start to trust, but not before.
Yes, sir. And this is a mess that we're in, and we're only going to get out of it if we, the people, are in touch with all of our elected officials, city, state, local, federal, asking them what they're doing about it, holding them accountable. This is not something we can just wait and hope that it'll just go away by itself, because this is pretty deeply rooted, isn't it?
It is. And people oftentimes ask me, Dr. Jensen, where do I start? You know, what are the guardrails? And I tell them, I said, the answer is in the preamble to the Constitution. It's to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Those are the five benchmarks. If it doesn't fit within there, then government should be minimally involved with our lives. We do not need an expansive, overreaching, intrusive government to tell us whether or not we can open our business on a Monday or whether or not on a Wednesday we need to take this step or that step. People need to be able to live their lives independently. That's the very nature of the American experiment.
Well said. Scott, you've already told us how to get your book. How can listeners keep in touch with you? You're the kind of person that I think is a great role model for everybody. How can people do that?
I think the easiest way is to go to Dr. Scott Jensen, DrScottJensen, either on Twitter or on Facebook. On Facebook, I have 500,000 people who follow me every day. And on Twitter, you know, I have six figures following me. And I'm certainly on the other platforms as well, Dr. Scott Jensen, MN, and things like that. But we need to connect. And if I could share one last thought, Dennis, I would say this. I would tell the listening audience, please, if we've learned one thing through this whole pandemic, it's that if you see someone with letters behind their name, whether it's MD or PhD, don't be too impressed. Quite frankly, some of the most common sense insight that we've learned through this entire pandemic has come from thoughtful people who have the ability to analyze things put in front of them and to share honest, plain speaking conclusions. We have seen so much camouflage and so much deceit coming from people who are simply spewing the government narrative. I know that there are many good people in government. I get that. But there are many people whose main focus is power and control. And if corruption is the price we have to pay for power and control to be achieved, they will corrupt. And we all have heard that comment. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we got to remember that.
Well said. And yes, you're 100% right. Thank you, Scott, for joining us today. Thank you for your service to your state and your love for our nation and what you stand for. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Thank you, Dennis.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Rush Duerstein from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll discuss electromagnetic pulses with Dr. William Fortune. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Grab some protein. Rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.